Father God, we bow before you. We thank you so much for life in Christ. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to fellowship with one another. We thank you that we have the Holy Spirit within us that will help us understand your word today. Father, give me the words to speak in a way that you can work your power through them. In Christ's name, amen. In the early 1900s, the church experienced a significant surge in missions. During that time, there was a group of missionaries called one-way missionaries. When they departed for the mission field, they packed all their belongings into a coffin and bought one-way tickets because they knew they'd probably never return home. Think about that. These missionaries went to some of the darkest places on earth to spread the light of the gospel. Peter Milne was one of those missionaries. He felt called to share the gospel to a tribe of cannibalistic headhunters in the New Hebrides Islands in the South Pacific. All previous missionaries trying to reach this tribe had been martyred. By God's grace, Peter Milne served in these islands for more than 50 years. When he died, the tribe buried him and wrote the following words on his tombstone. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. What a beautiful legacy to leave this world with. I envy that legacy, don't you? I want to leave no darkness on this earth when God calls me home. One pastor described Peter Milne's life like this. Here was a man who burned brightly for God in the shadow land of the South Pacific. When reading about the lives of missionaries like Peter Milne, we often find ourselves thinking like this. He was called to that life, that danger, and it is a wonderful thing that he was, but it's not what God has called me to do. I want to be very, very clear here. That is not true. What Peter Milne was, we must be. What he did, we must do. Within the lives we live, we must bring light, be bright lights in the shadowlands of our communities, our jobs, our families, with the same heart of Peter Milne. This is what we're going to see as we continue to look at what the worthy walk of a Christ follower looks like. Listen to Jesus Christ's call. Listen to Jesus Christ's call to let the light of our salvation shine in our dark world. He says, we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We too have been called to the same worthy walk as Peter Milne. The only difference is our call. And where we're called to serve. Our call is to be lights for the gospel is just as important as Peter Milne's. And you and I must ask ourselves, am I as obedient in spreading the gospel as those who are called to places far away? Philip DeCourcy writes, let's remind ourselves that people all around us, those nearest and dearest to us, sit in sin's dark night. They are fumbling their way through life without hope, without God. And it is our job and our joy as the church to illuminate Christ to them and to radiate God's love to them. That's our job. When this doesn't happen, God's light is extinguished as it has been in Europe. Europe was once a stronghold of the Christian faith. It produced men like Luther, Calvin, Knox, and Peter Milne, who was a Scotsman. But now Europe is one of the most spiritually dark places in the entire world. The light of Christ has almost disappeared. America is on the same path. The gospel message is growing dimmer and dimmer, even with thousands of churches existing across the landscape. What are we to do? We need to stop cursing the darkness and start lighting some gospel candles. I'm going to quote Philip DeCourcy again. It is so tempting in today's world, in the cultural deterioration that we are witnessing, to kind of just curse the darkness. So while there is much to be discouraged about, much to be frightened about, we are not going to spend our days cursing the darkness. We are going to light some gospel candles. We are going to let our life be a light for Jesus Christ and bring hope where there is despair and bring light where there is darkness. That's what we're supposed to do. With that challenge in mind, let's look at our passage this morning that encourages us to be gospel lights. The gospel lights that God has commanded us to do. And if you remember in Ephesians 4:1, Paul writes that we are to walk the worthy walk we have been called to. And then as we have seen, he has described what that walk looks like for us. It is a walk of unity, of holiness, and of love, which we've already covered. And this morning, as you have probably already guessed, he continues to describe the worthy walk as a walk of light. So please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. And that will be on page 1244 of your pew Bible. And I'd like everybody to stand as we read verses 7 through 14. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. And therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You may be seated. I want you to notice something about verse 7. Therefore do not become partakers with them. Verse 7 connects Paul's previous thoughts about walking in love with our passage this morning. He says, do not be partners with those who walk in darkness or the lust that he finished talking about just previously. He says, remember, he says, we are to love and imitate God's love, and we are not to walk in the lustful love of the world around us. And so he is connecting that, those two things. He is saying, do not be partners with those who have this lustful love, who live in the world of lust. And he says, because. He's going to say, don't partner with them. Don't be there with them. And then in verse 8, he tells us why. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know what he's saying there? You have been changed. You've been changed. You're not the same person you were before. How have you been changed? How have I been changed? Look at what he says. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We are no longer darkness. Think about that. Read that very carefully. Paul does not say you were walking in darkness. What does he say? We were darkness. We were darkness. This is one of the most illuminating statements in God's word about what happens when we are saved. We were once darkness. It is who we were at our very core, and everything we did in life comes out in that darkness. We didn't become darkness because of our life circumstances or because of the environment we grew up in. You know, things like economic circumstances, family circumstances, or educational circumstances. We are darkness before salvation because we were born that way. The psalmist writes in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We were born dark. We were born being darkness. I hope that makes your heart cringe a little bit. Because in that state, nothing good can come out of our lives being darkness. But there is hope. Look at the last part of verse 8 there, or the middle part. "But now you are light in the Lord," and we all say, "Amen." That is a radical change in who we are from darkness to light. A radical change not because we could, generate our own light, but because we are in the Lord, in Jesus Christ, because of our salvation. Now, His light shines in us and through us. It is not our light generated by us. And Jesus says in John 8:12, He says this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." There is no place to find true light except in Jesus Christ, and you need to grasp a hold of that, and so do I. There is no light to be found in any other endeavor, any other belief system, or any other relationship in this dark world. There is no light to be found within us. It is of no use for us to look within yourself or myself to find the light of light, because it doesn't exist without Jesus Christ. True transforming light can only be found when a person comes face to face with the light of the gospel and believes in their heart the truth of Jesus Christ, that He is God's Son, virgin born, sinless, died on the cross for our sins, and rose from the dead to bring hope to a hopeless world. When that truth is believed, light dawns within our very hearts, and radical transformation takes place. It is only then that we cease to be darkness. If this isn't true of you here this morning, if this radical transformation isn't visible in your life, then I need to be very honest and very clear with you. And I'm not trying to be mean. But if this radical transformation isn't visible in your life and how you live and how you think and what you want, then there is no assurance of salvation whatsoever. A Christ follower is one whose life was marked by rebellion, covetousness, sexual immorality, selfishness, materialism, and disobedience to God's word. And we have to understand something. There was a very important word there that I said. Christ follower is one whose life was marked. And what I mean by marked, it is what people saw. It is what you lived for. It was part of your life. It was marked by these things. You may not have sinned in every single one of those things that I listed, but if you sinned in one of those things and embraced it and still do, then your life is marked by that. It is who you are. Those who are Christ followers, those who have accepted Jesus Christ, their life is now marked by light, by love, by joy, by peace, long-suffering, purity, holiness, unity, obedience, and a love for God and His people, because light has dawned in their hearts. Let me ask you a question. Is there real assurance in your heart that the light of Jesus Christ has dawned in your heart? That you are light because your life is beginning to be marked by love and joy and peace and long-suffering, purity, holiness, unity, obedience, and a love for God and His church and people? Is there real assurance of that in your life? I pray that there is a time in your life where you stopped being darkness and started being the light of Jesus Christ, because you have been radically transformed. and that transformation is visible in your daily walk, as Paul commands in the last part of verse 8. Look at verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the world. And then he commands, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Is that what you are doing day in and day out this morning? Is that your heart? Is that your heart? Remember, the Ephesian church was sitting right where you are this morning over 2,000 years ago. There's a good chance they were thinking the same thing you are. Whoa, have I really been changed? Am I a light in my very pagan, difficult culture? Is my heart light? And Paul makes sure that every Christ follower here looks at themselves in the mirror and evaluates their worthy walk in these verses. He does not let us off the hook. He says, you were darkness before salvation. You are light, and that is transformation. And that means that you can and are able to walk the worthy walk. If you have never been transformed from being darkness to being light, I pray you would allow someone here this morning to show you how you can be changed for all of eternity. And Paul moves on and answers a question I think that he knew many of us would ask. What is the fruit of our light? What is the fruit of our light? And we find it in verse 9. It's a very insightful question. How will our light express itself in our worthy walk? How many of you want to know that? He says we're supposed to have a worthy walk of light. How does it express itself? How does it show itself to us in our lives? Look at verse 9. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Paul answers that question in this verse. The light of Jesus Christ reveals itself in our worthy walk by bearing the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness. So what is goodness? The Bible is clear that only God is good. Only God's good. Therefore, any fruit of goodness in our life that our life bears has to be from God Himself, because God is the only one that is good. Goodness is God's kindness towards man. How many of you have experienced God's kindness this morning? Goodness is the desire to do good to those within God's creation. Goodness shows itself in the good works that Paul mentions back in chapter 2. We've already studied this, where he writes, "For we are His," God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He saved us for good works. He saved us so that we can walk in goodness and show the kindness of God to everybody we meet. Goodness is helping the widow and the orphan, serving our community, loving our neighbors, working hard at work, raising our family, sharing the gospel, loving your church and your church family. That is good works. That is goodness bearing fruit. But we have to understand something. It is only goodness bearing fruit if it is lived for the glory of God and not for ourselves. Many people do good things, true? Many people serve in the community. Many people coach, and many people do all kinds of things. They work at food shelters and stuff like that. But without being light, that is worthless in God's eyes, because it's done in darkness. This must be done, this goodness, all to the glory of God, not your glory. And then he lists righteousness. In 1 John 2:29, we read, if you know that he is righteous, and we do, if we know that God is righteous, and we do, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him, which means we have moved from darkness to light. We are righteous as his children because he is righteous. Righteousness is doing right things according to God's word, no matter what the consequences are. Think about that. Righteousness is doing the right thing according to God's word, no matter what the consequences are. It speaks of faithfulness, meeting your obligations and your responsibilities. Ask another question this morning. Does anyone here have responsibilities? I think everybody who doesn't have responsibilities left the room already. Right? If you have a wife, you have a responsibility, men. If you have a husband, wives, you have a responsibility. Do you have neighbors? You have a responsibility to be God's light to them, not just living next to them as good neighbors. We can live next to people and be friends and talk over the fence and all that kind of stuff. We could be good neighbors and never be the light of Christ to them because they can live for years and never hear the gospel from us. How is that being a good neighbor? Are you a child who has parents? I'm looking over here for some of y'all. Are you a child who has parents? Obedience is right living for you. Period. Are you a member of a church? And you should be. You have a responsibility for your church. You have some responsibilities in your church. Righteousness is right living in light of God's word, not your feelings or your logic or your experience. Christ followers always strive to live rightly in accordance with God's word. So how are you doing this morning? How are you doing this morning? Are you bearing fruit of righteousness that is visible to the world and your church family? Are you really, can you honestly say, I am bearing righteous fruit because I am light? And people will attribute the goodness that I do, the righteousness that I do to my Savior, to my God. The last thing he lists there in verse 9 is truth. We live in a world marked by deceitful lies and falsehoods and ruled by the father of lies, Satan. We're not blind to that. Into that darkness we walk. The worthy walk, speaking truth because Jesus Christ is truth. Into that darkness, wherever you go this week, you bring the light of Christ into the darkness. And you must speak the truth in that darkness. You see, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We speak the truth because our Savior is truth. And that will cost us. Do you realize that? That will cost you. It may cost you friendships, not because you want to, but because the darkness doesn't want to hear the truth. It may cost you a promotion because the darkness doesn't want to hear the truth. The world doesn't want to hear the truth about the sanctity of life. That there are only two genders, that marriage is between one man and one woman for life, that there is only one way to heaven, and that we are not the rulers of our own lives. The world doesn't want to hear that. But they need to hear that and hundreds of other things when we walk into the darkness. We must be committed to speaking the truth in love. Let me ask you something. If you are not speaking this kind of truth to your neighbors, are you really a good neighbor? Honestly. Are your unsaved neighbors and family members on your heart? It's a burden. It's not something we just live with and hope God opens the door. It's a burden Because we want to speak the light of Christ into their lives. Our Savior is good and righteous and truth. And we can mimic Him in our worthy walk because we have His light within us through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when our lives begin to bear these fruits in abundance, then we are graciously assured of our salvation and we become gospel lights to the world around us and we begin to light gospel candles. When is the last time you, your family, had the privilege of lighting a gospel candle? When is the last time God blessed you because of your agony and prayer, because you cared so much, because you lived truth and righteousness, that God has allowed you to lead somebody to Jesus Christ? You need to ask yourself, how can I not lead somebody to Jesus Christ for years and years and years when every place I walk is the light of God? You need to ask yourself that. You want Sardis to grow? That's the key. God is not going to just waltz people in here all the time to grow Sardis. It is when we go out as light into a dark world, and God uses us to change lives, and we get to then have the privilege of having kids and families and grandparents come into this church to be discipled on how to live the light that is now in them, and then go out and spread that light. If we are not spreading the light, the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world wherever we walk, why would God grow this church? Why? I'd like to stop here this morning and consider three things in light of this passage, because we've been challenged. Can you see that I've been challenged? My heart has been challenged in my own life. What fruit am I bearing? What kind of light am I spreading? And so I want us to think about three things, some that I've mentioned before, but I just want to remind us. A walk of light is part of our worthy walk. It's not optional. But I want you to consider this. A walk of light is proof positive that you are God's child. It's proof positive that you are God's child when you bear fruit of righteousness and goodness and truth. If our lives don't mimic the character of the one who has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of light, then we really need to ask why. Why do I not love his church like he does? Why does my heart not break when I see others living in darkness because they are darkness? And we see them every day or every week. We see them as neighbors, as co-workers, as students who sit next to us in the desk. These are important questions to consider this week. Does my life reveal that I am light because I have fruit? Because I have fruit. Another thing I'd like us to consider this morning. Where do we find what is good and righteous and true so that we know how to let our light shine? Where do we find how to grow this fruit in our lives? It's only in God's Word. That's the only place. That's the fertilizer for bearing fruit, is God's Word. In God's Word, we see this, Psalm 119, 105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You can trust God's word, not your feelings, not the world and its philosophies, not even your Christian friends at times, because they can even be inconsistent. You can't even trust your conscience because sometimes it's wrongly informed. God's word is the only place to find out how to walk in goodness and righteousness and truth that bears fruit. How much are you in God's word? Just be honest. The more you're in it, the brighter the light that is within you will shine. The more you're in it, the stronger you'll be to handle what happens when you are the light in the world. Again, God's word is the fertilizer. And the last thing I'd like to have us think about, think through. A worthy walk being God's light means that we have to live in the world, but we cannot become the world. We have to live in the world, but we cannot become the world. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning sexual immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. There was some confusion in Paul's letter here, and he's saying, listen, I'm not telling you that you cannot associate with a people in a world who are like this. Why? You'd have to leave the world. He goes on to say that he says, I don't want you to associate with these people who call themselves Christ followers. We'll get to that later. But right now, what's he telling us? You and I are going to have to live in a world that's full of those people. And we are going to come in contact with them. And we're supposed to come in contact with them because we are God's light. However, we are not to live like those who do not know Jesus as their Savior. Back just a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, do not become partakers with them. Don't become partakers of those who live like this. And then he says in 1 John 2, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If the world can pull you away from being a light, then you love the world too much. Will we all struggle with that? Yes. That's why we need God's word. That's why we need each other. That's why we need the church. That's why we need Paul to speak to us like this morning. Go out and walk the worthy walk of light. But do not become like the world. Don't let it influence you. And that is so hard. But we can do it because we are now light in darkness. We'll never do it perfectly. But God knows that and has provided a way for us to confess our sins. And he promises us to forgive us of those sins. But only if we have broken and contrite hearts. Sometimes we say, oh, Lord God, I know I shouldn't have looked at that or I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. And we just go on with life. And then 2 days later, 3 days later, oh, God, please forgive me for this because of this, because of this. And, oh, Lord, I know you don't want me to do this. But you want to know something? Many of those prayers are never, never said with a broken and contrite heart. They're just, God says he'll forgive me. But there is no forgiveness if there's not a broken and contrite heart. There's no forgiveness if your heart doesn't break because of that sin. Now, you may do that sin again, but then your heart does what again? Breaks. And pretty soon we start getting better at not living in that sin because we're tired of broken hearts. How many of you want to live with a broken heart and contrite heart all the time? Now, when we come to God with that broken and contrite heart, we want to start staying away from that sin because I don't like being there. We also find in James 4:4, he says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We're not supposed to be friends of this world. We are to be lights in this world. We are to be lights in this world, not friends. It doesn't mean we give the world a cold shoulder. It doesn't mean that we stay in our houses and surround ourselves with safety, because we already know that we're going to be living in amongst them, right? And we know that we have to have a light that shines and bears fruit. But there's a difference of living in the world as a friend and living in the world as light. There's a big difference there. And the last one here is Romans 12, 2. How do we begin this travel? Do not be conformed to this world. Do not change to be like this world. Do not become friends with the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to have our minds changed, and our minds cannot change until we are not darkness. Our minds can only change when we become light. He says, what transforms our mind? God's Word. If you're not in God's Word, your mind will never be transformed. It won't. It's just not going to happen. Because what will you be feeding your mind? The things of the world. You can't help but feed your mind to things of the world as soon as you walk out that door. And so if you are not feeding your mind the Word of God, you will not be renewed in your mind. I hope that you've begun to see that we are called to the same life of light that Peter Milne was. Yes, he went to a cannibals in South Pacific, spent most of his adult life there. 50 years. As far as I know, none of us here have been called to that yet, right? Anybody want to come up here and dedicate your life to that right now? Okay. But you have been called to be Peter Milne in the life and in the places that God has put you right now. With the same heart's desire as Peter Milne. With the same convictions as Peter Milne. With the same love and truth and righteousness and goodness of Peter Milne. He did not put you where you are at right now to be a light and cover it up because you are so involved in the world. And so this morning, as we go to prayer, and as Michelle comes up here and the men get ready to take the offering, I pray that maybe you've been convicted. There is no need for guilt, only conviction. Are you a light? So please bow your head. Think of your life. Honestly, look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I bearing the fruit of the light that resides within me? Really? Because that is what we're here for, and that is what brings assurance of our salvation. Father God, there are people here this morning who have been convicted, who have maybe had to back up and look at their lives and consider their walk of light. And Father, I praise your name for that. Not because they've been guilted into it, Father, I hope, but because maybe you're speaking into their life through your word. Oh, Lord, walk in this worthy walk of light is so heart, and it is so demanding. And it makes us different, and it means we're going to pay a cost. But Lord God, when we look at that, in light of what you have given us, changing us from darkness into light. Oh, Lord, what a privilege it is to bring that light to other people and to pray that they would see it and understand it, and that we would pray that you would open their hearts and their minds to it so that we can share in their actual change from darkness to light when they accept your Son as Jesus, as their Savior. Father, if there's anybody here this morning who is not sure that they have been transformed from darkness to light, I pray that they would not be able to just to put it off or set it aside. I pray that they would get a hold of somebody here, get a hold of me, Pastor Keith. There's all kinds of people here who would like to walk with them to explain more of what it means to be radically changed. And Father, if there's Christ followers here this morning who have maybe taken a step back and are wondering what kind of fruit there is, I pray that they would look to you and say, Lord God, I'm sorry. Lord God, I need to make changes. Lord God, help me. And to know that from this point on, right now, that they can walk out that door and begin to change, and that you still love them and will be with them. Lord God, help us to be convicted by your word. Help us to be changed by your word. And Lord God, I pray that Sardis would be a light for you in the world around us. In Christ's name, amen.